Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
You get mad, you know, your boss says something to you at work, and you just kind of walk out of there, and you can see all these electronic synapses coming out. And you go home and you yell at your wife. Wife fries. She turns to the son. He gets mad. He yells at his sister. Sister. Sister kicks the dog. Dog bites the cat. The cat finds the doll, bites and eats the head off the doll.
Well, it sounds like Pastor Wayne is in rare form today. Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope. Today, Pastor Wayne will pick up where he left off yesterday, talking about the life of Moses. Now, maybe you think you have it bad, riding in the carpool every morning with a grumbler sitting in the back seat. Well, Moses left Egypt with 2 million grumblers in his rearview mirror. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Moses, Grumblers in the Desert.
And here's a way that the Bible says that you can view problems that will help you to build wisdom. And again, it's from Proverbs. Let's read this scripture in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 23. Go. Doing wickedness is like sport to a fool, and so is wisdom to a man of understanding. Yeah, doing wickedness, it's like fools see doing wickedness like a sport. They excel at it. That's negative. Positive, but you know what? People of understanding, they see wisdom like a sport and they excel at it. Well, what is it saying? It's simply saying fools make wickedness a sport. Understanding people make wisdom a sport. So it's sort of like this. Here's your sport or your challenge or your test, athletic test as it were. You've got a problem that you're facing. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever it is. Now, here's the ground rules. You need to resolve this problem, sister, brother. Here's being assigned by God. Resolve this problem in the wisest way possible. That if all the angels of heaven looked at this problem and see how you're resolving it, they'll all say, hands down, that is the wisest way to solve that problem. Because you can solve it in all kinds of ways. But what he's doing is the wisest. Try that. Now, here's the ground rules, Wayne. You can get advice from anybody you want to. You can read anything you want. You can get counsel from anybody you want to get the amount of wisdom necessary to resolve that. But heaven is watching, and we will judge. We'll be the umpire. Solve this problem the wisest way you can. So think about it. Just think about it. Okay, ready? Go. Click. And the timer starts. You see, that's what Proverbs is saying. Look at problems and say, what's the wisest way that I could ever, ever resolve this? And then you start thinking, this would be better. This would be a better way to do it. This would be a better way to do it. And then you challenge yourself to rise to that. And God is saying, now you're developing wisdom. You see, because there's one character quality like a diamond. There's one character quality that will only be developed under pressure. That's wisdom. Because you see, when there's pressure on you, you cry out for wisdom. Oh, God, help me to have wisdom. And the Bible says this in the book of James. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and will never hold it back from you. So if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask where? Of God. What's the best place to get your wisdom from? Would you write in your next bullet? Daily devotions. In your daily devotions. As you're reading through, you're going to see how Gideon solved this. Paul solved this. The wisdom that David used. The wisdom that Solomon used. And pretty soon as your daily devotions have been going, you're saying, now I'm starting to catch this. So when you hit a problem, you're not out of shape. You've been training. You've been increasing, developing wisdom from the ages. And so you enter this problem with a whole lot more training and fortitude and competence than you would have otherwise. And so that 100-pound weight, which would be heavy to somebody who hasn't trained, you'll still have to lift it, but it's not that heavy. Where do you get that? Daily devotions. If you haven't started, please do. You can get a bookmark outside and just start. If you can only do half. But start in the discipline of it and it'll increase your wisdom commensurately. Your daily devotions. So If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously. Now, let me tell you where that verse follows. Let me give you the verse above it. Because you see, there's only one character quality that's built like a diamond under pressure, and that's wisdom. When it says, let him ask of God, who gives all men generously, if any man lacks wisdom, let me now quote to you the verse in front of it. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you'll be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. You see, what he's saying is wisdom is going to be necessary to resolve these things. Now, you can either grumble or you can ask God for wisdom and insight, and you'll grow. And you'll be someone where the Lord says, that's how to do it. You say, you know, Wayne, I'd love to do that. And I sure will. But, you know, there's sometimes there's people you got to work with. I mean, I can kind of do that. That's on the inside. But what if you've got to deal with people? What do? You just kind of deny? Sometimes I got to talk to these people. I know not grumble about them, but what if they're doing stuff that I just need to talk to them about? Mm-hmm, good. Then number two, after you have number one down, and you know the reason you don't grumble, you're asking God for wisdom. Number two, then if you have to, learn to appeal before coming to conclusions. Learn to appeal to people. Appeal. No, not rebuke, not punch, not sabotage, not slander, not yell, but appeal. That means reason with. Well, it's so easy to make conclusions rather than to appeal to someone. And we need to learn to appeal to people rather than saying, you know what God says? God said you're going to hell. No, you don't just make conclusions. You appeal to that person. Hey, here's some things that are happening. Can I give you an option? You know, and I know I may have misunderstood something, but here's an option that maybe will help the team camaraderie, esprit de corps. Let's just kind of work this out and let's see if we can do something about it. And so you learn to appeal, and that's wisdom. Let's read what James says as you approach people. This should be some of the qualities by which you approach them. James 3, go. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, here it is, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. The wisdom from above is first pure. In other words, when I appeal to somebody, I've got to make sure that my heart is pure, that I'm not coming to this guy with ulterior motives. Now, one of the most important things to make sure your heart is pure is, here it is, make sure that before I appeal to somebody that I've got to work something out with, make sure that forgiveness has already taken place before I talk with them. Never, 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 never let your forgiveness for this person be determined by how they respond to you. Which means, I'll talk to this guy, but what if he just throws it back in my face? Then that's it. No, because then if that person doesn't accept what you have to say, the infection goes deeper. But if you've already forgiven because you went to the cross first before you went to the person, and the forgiveness is given, the guy can tell you, hey, hang it on your nose. You'll say, it's all right, I just thought this might help. But forgiveness is already given, so it doesn't really matter. I'm going to give you this with a pure heart. My role is not to change his heart. My role is to present what I present with a pure heart. And it is God's role to change his heart. Don't switch the roles. All my role is to present it as Jesus would, because forgiveness is already given. And this, I think, just will help relationships and will help this guy become a better person. If he rejects it, that's okay. It's all right. I just appeal to you and present it to you, and your heart is pure and you leave it. But if it's a godly advice, if it's godly appeal and it's done with a pure heart, you know what the Bible says? If it's biblical, what you just said or did, the Bible says, my word will not go forth from me void, but it will accomplish what it was sent forth to accomplish. Because God's word is not dead, it is living. Hebrews 4 says. So as I share this, he can say whatever he wants to. There it is, and it's already in. You heard it. And I walk away, and it's doing its work. I just make sure that my role is presented with a pure heart. And now it'll do its work. Because that person may reject you and may not change. But 3 months later, 6 months later, that thing starts to grow. And the roots of that break some hard-heartedness. And maybe 3 years later, things start to make sense and he starts connecting the dots because you gave it with a pure heart and God's word now starts to take effect. If that person rejects it, it may not be forever. The word is there. Now you say, but what if he does reject me? That's all right. You know what the Bible says? As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And not as far as it depends on their response, as far as it depends on you, which means they might slam their door on you, but you keep your door open to them. So that keeps your heart free, see, from vengeance and bitterness. They can slam their door on you. I don't want to see you. That's okay. You keep yours open. There's people with me that don't like me. Moi? Yeah, I don't know why, but they don't like me. But that's okay. I keep my door open to them. And they'll see me in the supermarket. And, ugh, I hate you. And you can say, oh, but I love you. You see, it's just okay. It keeps your heart free because then you can live. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. That's your responsibility. And if you have to appeal to somebody, appeal to them with a pure heart. Make sure it's godly and it's a word of God and leave it with them regardless of the response. And the forgiveness is already given. You stand with an open door waiting and it may be 3 months, 3 years. But God's word will take effect. I was working with a pastor once and I was talking to him about people coming to church and we're talking, like I said today, about those that may have troubles and struggles and you must never be ashamed of whom God brings to the church. Don't you worry. Just accept them and see that, not to endorse their problem, but to help them get better. It's a hospital. It's a place where there's health that's beginning. No, he said, Jesus called disciples. They were God-fearing people. He surrounded himself with disciples. Not sinners. He spoke to them, but he surrounded himself with disciples. I said, no, he trained disciples to reach those people. That's the people he came to reach. It says that he came not for the saved, but for the ones that are lost. Not for the well, but the sick. It's pretty easy. No, he came. And I said, no. And we arm wrestled with it. And I said, no, just think about that. Read what the scripture says. Well, about 5 years later, he invited me to come and speak at his church. So when I went there, I said, I want to speak about, you know what we spoke about 5 years ago? I kind of want to talk about opening your hearts to the many that really need to find their way home, but they don't know where to start. And it should be the church. Is that okay? And he said, oh, yeah, you speak that because we need to hear that. I said, whoa, I thought, remember 5 years ago, you said, no, disciples only kind. He said, oh, and this is what he said. No, he said, I don't think that way anymore. You speak that. That's what we need to hear. I thought, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, it's interesting because when I first shared that with them, it's like, nope. But just leave it. If it's biblical, what's the Bible going to do? The Word of God will do its work. Just leave it. Just keep your heart open and God will now do his work. If it was delivered with a pure heart and it's biblical, you watch what God can do. But if you're doing it with a wrong heart and your forgiveness is determined by how they respond, well, God can't use that. It's all mixed up with flesh. So our responsibility is to have the wisdom from above, which is first pure, then peaceable and gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without hypocrisy. And you lay that in. And when you appeal, then God will use that. You say, but Wayne, what if though? Because we can't deny that we get upset sometimes at problems and I want to grumble. What do you do with that? Do you just deny it? Do you just drive it down deeper inside? Mm-mm. Did you write down number three? We don't forget that we're Christians. We forget that we're humans. So, would you write down, find a godly lightning rod. Find someone. And preferably sisters with sisters and brothers with brothers. But find a lightning rod, which simply is someone that you can talk to and process with and sometimes vomit on because you're upset. And they just ground it for you. They don't shoulder your offense. They don't say, oh, man, he said what? Let's gang up, punch him together. No. They process it with you and they ground it. They sift what's good from the bad and they say, take this. They're a lightning rod. Let's read what the scripture says. Go. A man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. In the Midwest, because they have lightning strikes on buildings, they run up a lightning rod that's taller than the building, because if you didn't have one, the lightning strikes the building and the force of electricity runs through the wires into the office equipment and fries all your office equipment. So they run a lightning rod up, and when lightning strikes, it hits that rod, copper wire that is grounded, and it goes into the ground. Saves, spares the building. We need people in our lives that are like lightning rods, that I can say, you know what, this makes me so mad, la, 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 la. And that person knows, and you've asked him to be a lightning rod to you, will you need to let that person speak into your life. He'll sift the bad from the good and say, Wayne, this is what you need to do. Because you're too clouded with subjectivity. You need someone who will be objective, and you've got to keep your heart open to someone who'll speak into your life when you need them to. We have three elders in our church. We have Dan Shima and George Irinon, Paul Lamb, that are elders here. And I kind of go to them and I can just barf stuff out to them, and they'll listen, sift it out, and help me. If I'm mad, want to quit, or this or that, they say, no, no, let's listen. No, no, let's take a look at it. And they are like lightning rods, so I don't fry things. Because isn't that true? Sometimes you get mad, you know, your boss says something to you at work, and you just kind of walk out of there, and you can see all these electronic synapses coming out. You know, smoke coming out. And you're driving down the freeway. Get out of my way! And you go home and you yell at your wife. Wife fries. She turns to the son. He gets mad. He yells at his sister. Sister kicks the dog. Dog bites the cat. The cat finds the doll, bites and eats the head off the doll. It's this domino effect. You just fry everybody. You need a lightning rod to stop that. I tell you what, Dad, if you ever get yelled at by your boss, go home, just find a doll, bite the head off the doll. Saves all these people in the middle. But you see, when you have a lightning rod, you can speak to that person and kind of sift through that. And it'll help you, because you got to work it through before you start grumbling, because that's just like it's an outlet. And if you had someone that loves Jesus, loves you, your family, and wants God's best and committed to God's best for you, that's the one you can say, will you be like a lightning rod for me? And I won't call or talk to anybody if I can just talk with you. And if you will do this for me, love God, love me, be committed to my best for my future. But I need somebody that sometimes I can say, like, poop to, and you won't go, oh, I'm telling. You know, it's just kind of work me through it. Is that all right? Yeah, it's all right. I'll do that. And then that'll help you immensely. Now, for example, some spouses can do this, but my wife is not a lightning rod for me. I will share with her, but I share with her after the victory is taken care of, after I've resolved it. Because she loves me so much, if I tell her something, she's got this gift of mercy. It's like, oh, she just gets crushed. So I have to kind of be careful. So I'll share with her, but it's from the victory side. Something happened, I resolve it. I say, honey, here's what happened. Man, God did a real good thing, and I'll share with her. But it's from the victory side. If it's from the other side, oh, man, I can't do that. I mean, it's sort of like, this never happens, but say a board member kind of gives me a real hard time. We got the greatest board here, but say they gave me a bad time, and I go home and I say, honey, you know, that Vern, man, he gave me a hard time. He called me like a ape. She, what? He called you what? Ape. Ape? Well, he looks like a chimpanzee. I know. That's why. It's terrible. Oh, man, I don't like him. I don't either. Oh, man, well, now she's fried. You know? Well, the next day, and this happens a lot. The next day, say Vern calls me. Hey, Wayne. What? Hey, so sorry what I said last night. Huh? Yeah, I was just so wrong. Oh, okay. Will you forgive me? Yeah, I forgive you. Sure, yeah, we friends. Yeah, okay, goodbye. Good. All right, now say everything is cool, copacetic, but I forget to tell my wife. So that Sunday, she's in the back of the church and Vern walks by, my wife. Yeah? I'd say, whoa, honey, what's going on? I hate him. He looked like one chimpanzee. Oh, no, no, you still... No, oh, no, honey, we resolved that. What? Yeah, he called me the very next day and resolved it. And you didn't tell me? Oh, sorry, eh? So, my wife is just so precious, I kind of protect her in certain areas, but I will share with her from the victory side. But I have others, again, men with men, sisters with sisters, that help so much, and I share with them, and it is so healthy. Here's the bottom line. You need to let somebody speak into your life that loves God, loves you, is committed to God's best for your future, and is biblical. You need to have, somebody's got to speak into your life, because there's an old saying that says, the eye cannot see the eye. You can see through, but if your eye is clouded, you need someone else to see. It doesn't matter how old you are, the eye still can't see the eye. You've got to let someone look at it and help you. So it doesn't matter how, I don't care if you've been in church for 20 years, you need to let somebody be able to speak into your life, and you've got to let that person know they can if they see anything wrong, because that's the only way you'll grow and move from grumbling into wisdom. You got to let them speak into your life. Might save your life. Like there's these three guys are on death row, this Portuguese guy, Japanese guy, and Hawaiian guy. And they were ready to face the firing squad. And there's old Sage in the cell next door, long, long beard and long hair. And he said, come, let me tell you what to say before you die. And the Portuguese guy goes, I don't need nobody tell me what to say before I mock it. That's the dumbest thing. I'm going to die anyway. No, 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 come, let me tell you. Well, the Japanese guy says, speak into my life, sensei. And so he speaks. So he goes, hey. The Hawaiian guy say, oh, brother, tell me, tell me. So he speaks into his life, oh, mahalo, eh, bro, mahalo. And he goes back. And the Portuguese guy says, I don't need nobody talking to my life. That's crazy. I'm going to mock it anyway. Well, the next day, first one to take by the wall is a Japanese guy, and they push him out to the wall, and these guys are right there with the gun. And so the two guys push him by the wall, and they run away. Ready! Aim! And the Japanese guy goes, tornado! What tornado? And he runs off while they're looking at him. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? I don't know. Just bring the next one. Bring the next one. So the Hawaiian guy is put over there. They run up. Ready! Aim! Hurricane! Oh, hurricane! And the guy runs off. Wait, where'd he go? Oh, I don't know. We got one more. Bring the last one. The Portuguese guy comes in. That's it. Ready! Aim! The Portuguese guy goes, fire! Fire! You better let somebody speak into your life. We're getting crazy in this place, I tell you. Get a lightning rod, because there's going to be problems. They're inevitable. And you'll choose the way of grumbling, which is a spiritual principle. It'll give entree to demonic intrusion, or you can gain wisdom and insight. And there you'll begin to see God's miracles, and a strength of faith begin to develop. So the problems don't physically get lighter. You just become stronger until the Lord sees that the people in this church are indeed heroes of legendary faith. Why? Because you understand that faith is pretty applicable. It's every day, and God will help us to gain the wisdom and the faith we need. Are you glad for that? I am.
I believe, I'll obey. I receive all of the joy you have for me. Where you lead me, I will go. I entrust my life to you. I entrust my life. Receive all of the joy you have for me. Where you lead me, I will go. I entrust my life to you. my life to you.
You have just heard a message entitled Moses, Grumblers in the Desert by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.